Okay, we're going to go live here. Okay, it is 6:12 p.m. on Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. We'll call the Columbia City Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Reffitt. Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you have the minutes from our last meeting. I did send one change to Rosie. I'm assuming you got that. Which was just a minor misspelling under Ordinance 2021-9. Just Grant was misspelled. But besides that, I didn't see anything else, but any changes or corrections?
I do not.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved. Thank
you. Motion by Jen.
Second.
Second by Ted. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Okay. Do I have to do roll call on this?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to do a roll call. Okay, because side note, I should have told you this ahead of time. State law changed when it comes to virtual meetings. So we now have to take audio roll call. So, Tad?
Here.
Approved?
Oh, approved.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Jennifer?
Approved.
Abstained. Approved.
And Jenny?
Approved.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Next up is an amendment to the zoning ordinance, Ordinance 2021-10. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. I'll give it to Jenny since I see her. I'm sorry, Jennifer. And seconded by Tad. Further discussion. All in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2021-10 by title only.
Ordinance 2021-10, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the R3 multifamily residential district to the GB general business district.
And we'll go ahead and bring Nathan up for this. I can figure this out.
Good evening. For the record, Nathan Belder, planning director. What is being proposed before you tonight is a rezoning request for Trigger Real Estate property that they own immediately north of their office building on Liberty Drive, inside of 9 north of Liberty. The property in question, founded by Legal Drains to the north side. Currently zoned R3 residential, backed up against Simonson State Apartment. I believe that's why we looked at as R3. Request is for GB to go out for Trigger Real Estate to expand onto the question. GB does also allow for apartments by special exception, so as well as single family by right to the primary uses in R3. So there's not really a huge change other than allowing additional commercial uses. As you see on the map, I believe there's, I'm not sure the map that you got, but there is a portion of the property to the east side is floodplain, but about half to two-thirds of the property is outside of the floodplain. It's shown on the concrete plan for Parks and Rec, which we believe stems from the fact that they didn't know exactly where the floodplain was, and there's a recommendation in the concrete plan for using floodplains for Parks and Rec. Now that it's been designed by DNR, that changes some of the dynamics. So this got a favorable recommendation from the Planning Commission, no real major discussion under call at the Planning Commission level, but was
Questions of Nathan?
Is part of that outside the city's city limits?
Thank you. Yes, the entire parcel is outside of the corporate limits for Columbia City. It is within the 2-mile jurisdiction. That's why the planning commission, of course, dealt with it, but it is outside of the corporate limits.
So is there any plans of annexation for that building or anywhere?
That would be a question for the representative and for you to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for Nathan? Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Mr. Walker.
Yes, sir.
Come on out.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hello.
Can you talk a little bit about the project in of itself? Like what you guys are, why you need the expansion and all that kind of good stuff? Sure. Go ahead and introduce yourself, your address.
Doug Walker, 3686 East 300 South, Columbia City. We're Frustrated Real Estate. We're proposing a 70 foot by 125 expansion to the north of the existing building. We want to tie onto the existing and go across the property line, I think, as we've established. Short distance, but it still goes across. So we don't do that. Business has changed and grown to where now we need more support. So the building itself is going to be a structure that the garage and support equipment will go into.
Generally speaking, okay. So I think obviously as Dan asked, and obviously I'm curious of is, you know, is there plans for Schrader's to request annexation since your building is kind of going to be in two different jurisdictions effectively there. The new part will be, and I think there's a portion of the new part that's actually still in the city limits.
Correct. I would say two-thirds of the new part
would be in the city limits. So
a portion will be in the county.
Sure.
I won't say no to that answer. There hasn't been a lot of discussion, Dan.
Okay.
It's just been focus of let's get it rezoned. I think there was discussion earlier that related to cost building.
Sure.
That's been the focus of where the discussion is.
Okay.
So the answer is not no.
Because it's as crazy as it is, with part of that building being in the county, who serves that area? I know it's petty, but I've seen it happen with other areas of town. Well, when it came across the airport road at one time, well, that goes down the center, so county gets this, city gets it. I'm like, are you kidding? If somebody's had a wreck or somebody's had a heart attack, just go.
Sure.
But
like
I've seen
that.
It where it gets just really crazy with that. And, you know, so I think we need to, you know, really seriously look at bringing it in. At some point in time, I know it can't happen right away. You've got to move a whole bunch of stuff that has to happen for it to happen. But I think it'd probably be a wise move to bring it in. And if we bring in any of that, you know, let's look at bringing in a large portion of it. You know, because honestly, if you're worried about taxes going up, I believe if I'm correct, that as long as you keep that a farm field and keep farming it, your taxes aren't going to go up as long as there's still crops. Now, if you go to develop it, obviously things will change.
Yeah.
If I'm stating that properly.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but.
But I think that would be the case. So it wouldn't be like you're going to get taxed really hard by going in there. I think that's the way I've understood it. So I think it'd be kind of a interesting moment to say, hey, instead of taking in just a chunk, let's look at, you know, the big picture down the road and possibly look at annexing all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is approximately 14 acres. Yeah. So, it's just it's not my authority to say that.
Yeah, definitely not against the project by any stretch of imagination.
Yeah.
I think this is a great thing for you guys. But when I'm looking at, you know, I just want to bring that out for discussion and see what everybody else thinks. But
yeah, I mean, I think obviously, I think the point, understanding certainly, you don't have that, you know, that power, if you will. But I think the big issue for us is just to ensure that it's conveyed to whoever is the decision maker, whether it's RD or whoever, that the city really believe there probably should be annexed, obviously with a large portion of it already being in the city limits, and because that's kind of a weird, it's just a weird delineation, right? Like,
I really like the idea of there's no decision. It's time to go, and
yeah.
His group show up. And
sure.
Put out,
sure, I get that. So, I mean, I honestly, I think, you know, certainly we'd love to have the whole section annexed in, figuring whatever the future's going to be in that, but I, at the very least, I think we need that section brought. That's my personal opinion. So.
That.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Other questions? Doug? No? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Doug, depends what doors I go in.
Market.
Yeah, I want a big red letter. This is a county door.
Yeah.
This is a city door.
We may not even have any doors
kidding.
On the end of the building.
That's a joke. Okay. So obviously you have the staff report that was provided to you in the packet. Again, you have the the ordinance 2021-10 regarding the actual rezoning of the property. Keep in mind there's two readings for it, so if between now and the next meeting, RD or you or whoever wants to come and say, hey, yes, we'll come, be happy to do that. So any other questions, thoughts, comments, concerns? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2021-10 on first reading?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? Okay. I'll go through roll call. Jenny?
Approved.
Okay. Walt?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Very good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Okay. Next up is ordinance number 2021-9. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2021-9 by title only.
Ordinance 2021-9, an ordinance to establish the ARP Coronavirus Local Physical Recovery Fund. Fund 176.
This is the second reading of the American Rescue Plan Coronavirus Fund establishment, if you will. Any questions, comments, concerns on that? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2021-9 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? Okay, we'll go to roll call vote. Tad?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jenny?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Thank you. We finally, on that note, by the way, finally got some instruction. I think it's a total of like 150-some pages. It's probably not that much. It feels like it. From Trish, from U.S. Treasury. I have not gone through it. I know Rosie has not gone through it yet, so we're going to start going through that and trying to figure out what it actually means and what we can and can't do. So I keep seeing the word flexible and broad in some of the terminology as I'm kind of starting to read through it. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know. So anyway. Next up is the voluntary annexation process approval. We'll turn it over to Marcia.
This is really about the super voluntary annexation process. But yeah, I just made two changes. One, just to add something on additional review prior to coming to council, and the other was Rosie's recommendation, which I thought was a really good one, to also include who gets notified, just so it's a part of the process. I mean, it already is a part of the process, but this makes it part of the written process that we put together. So I just made two changes to just update it. Board of Works did approve the update.
Mm-hmm. So really just stems from Dan. Dan's the culprit on this one. I actually, what it really stems from is the school annexation. And so so as you will remember, in the annexation, there's obviously there's a fiscal plan that's included. The fiscal plan map did not match up with the actual first track. Yeah, of the survey. Okay. Now going back, Marcia and I talked about this, and I think it was just a misunderstanding. But effectively, Kevin Michael from Walker's was able to effectively make this a two-phase annexation rather than three by drawing the track in a specific way. Okay. So long story short is that in the future we're trying to head that off by bringing some of that to our GIS guide to draw out those to ensure that everything's lined up. Not to mention that they obviously what Marcia said as well. So nothing has changed. Nothing is different. The only thing that is noteworthy is that the fiscal plan map and the actual first tract of annexation are different. Effectively, the only difference is the ball fields, I think, right? Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, it's a difference of just a couple of acres, but again, we're effectively going to go right into track two of annexation. So in this situation, it doesn't really matter, but it does in some ways. So it doesn't impact us really.
We just created a split of parcels. So
yeah.
That one part of the parcel was in, one part wasn't. And
yeah.
So it created a split.
Yeah.
Just because of the way it was done.
So,
the legal description was correct on the petition
mm-hmm.
and the ordinance. It's just the depiction that was attached to the fiscal plan was the original depiction as opposed to the two parcel. That's all, but the legal description is correct.
Right. And it really wasn't Chip's fault because I was under that same impression until we actually pulled the survey out and was like, oh, that's different. I'll take the blame for that for sure. But.
No, I take the blame for it. I didn't catch that depiction had been used.
Not here nor there. It really doesn't impact a whole lot. It does from the recording and all that stuff, but as for our plan of action, it doesn't impact anything. So, anyway. Any questions about the actual super voluntary annexation change? Nothing? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the process as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? We'll go to roll call. Tad?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jenny?
Yes.
Thank you. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up is your favorite time of year, the compliance of statement of benefits. We have a couple here. We've also had a couple that are put into your Dropbox. A couple that are putting in Dropbox. We'll do the DOT America one first.
Dale had to excuse tonight.
Yeah, Dale wasn't able to be here tonight, but obviously all of these in front of you are in good standing and
numbers all look good.
Yeah, they all look good. So he said, he said, I really can't get out of my thing tonight, but if anybody has questions, I certainly welcome a call or anything like that. So we will first go to the DOT America Real Estate Improvements, which is resolution number 2014-15. Any questions, comments, concerns about that? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to find DOT America in compliance and approve an additional year of abatement.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion, we'll go to roll call. Tad.
Approved.
Jennifer.
Approved.
Dan.
Approved.
Walt.
Approved.
Jenny.
Approved.
It is unanimous. Next, we'll go to DOT America. For the personal property, it's resolution number 2014-15. Any questions, comments, concerns about that? Obviously, the numbers line up pretty well. So, okay, can I have a motion to find DOT America in compliance and approve another year of abatement?
So moved.
Second. Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? We'll go to roll call vote. Tad?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jenny?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Okay, next up is DOT America, again with personal property for resolution number 2017-24. Any questions, comments, concerns? Hearing none, can I have a motion to find DOT America in compliance and approve another year of abatement?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jennifer. We'll go to roll call. Tad?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jenny? Review it is unanimous. Next up is DOT America for real estate improvements with resolution number 2017-23. Do I have a motion to find DOT America in compliance and approve another year of abatement?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jennifer. Okay, we'll go to roll call vote. Tad?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jenny?
Approved.
And those are, it is unanimous. Next up, we'll take the Quality Inspection Engage, or QIG. We'll take that up. And this is for resolution number 2016-25.
Hold on one second.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I just wanted to, I need to check on that one.
Okay. Would you like me to go to the other one instead, or just wait?
No, not since I got the book.
Okay, I'll just wait then.
On that one.
Which one? QIG?
Anything. All right, QIG.
Okay.
Okay, so that is for 2016.
Yeah, so 16-25 for personal property.
Because I think that is Remley. Remley? No. But anyway, it is for just personal property, and I think they do have real estate too. So, but I don't have any paperwork on that. So, all we can do is approve this personal property.
Okay.
It's the same address, only it's under Remley. I don't know if they changed hands or that's what it was. And previously it was Remley.
Hmm.
Last year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if they only turned in personal property, then that's what it is. I mean, obviously.
Okay.
Real estate compliance.
We'll go with what we have in front of us, I guess.
Okay.
Okay. So in front of you is the personal property, again, resolution 2016-25 for quality inspection engaged QIG. Any questions?
Is this their last year?
I think is it a 10-year?
Yeah, it says check the 10th. Yeah, your time.
Yeah. So we still got a couple years.
No,
this would be the last year.
Last one.
2018.
I'm confused.
Well, then, in there.
If it's a 2016, is it a 10-year?
It says it's marked on there year 10.
Yeah, that was the first statement of benefits that they actually submitted. So the form before that is the one we're approving. That was the original one. So we approved 10 years
got
of abatement in
okay.
that.
Yeah.
Okay, so okay. I get where you're coming because I thought that earlier this afternoon
got
when
it.
I read it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I see where you're at. Yeah. So a 10-year abatement on 2016, yeah, we have a couple more years on that. But, So it's the first form that we're actually going after.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry for the confusion on that. Okay. Do I have a motion to find Quality Inspection Engage in compliance and approve another year of abatement?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jennifer. We'll go to roll call. Tad?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jenny?
Approved.
Okay, it is unanimously approved, and we will now go to BR Real Estate. The compliance and statement of benefits for real estate improvements for BR Real Estate. This is the Verizon Shopping Center area. Any questions? Okay. This is for resolution number 2018-3. Do I have a motion to find BR Real Estate LLC in compliance and approve another year of abatement?
Can we discuss this one real quick?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, everything just seems like they just copied it.
Yeah, more, like their numbers
I mean, it seems
exactly the same.
Yeah.
This has been a history of duplicated information or lack of information or information appearing in wrong places. We've been over and over, not just this particular company.
Well, keep in mind these are state forms. And typically we encourage, and I think Rosie, you had said you've already talked to Dale and everything too, but obviously we encourage the business owners to work with the EDC if they have questions about these kind of things. You can see a little bit of a difference in section 4. I can't say that it's all right.
I will say last year when they turned it in, column B, the FD1 all is 500, 200, and 300. On here they have 750, but they have 15 employees. The year before it was 10.
Yeah, so I think what they did is, I don't know how they did that, but I agree with you. It sounds like to me maybe that where it says as estimated on SB1 actually should be lower numbers, whereas, right, you said...
Yeah, SB1 should have been 10 employees at 500,000, 4 employees at 200, and 8 at 300. And they've put what they currently have.
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
Magically.
So they add it.
That's exactly
yes.
What I thought.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome if you hit your number spot on.
Spot on, right. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. So it sounds like to me, do we have historical records before that? Do you have any of the forms prior?
Yeah,
does that follow suit with those numbers?
Yeah, they put the same amount. Or they put previously the 500.
Yeah.
Why they changed it this time.
It just tells me that
I didn't catch it.
I think they just transferred money or the numbers from one column to the other. Because you said in the previous those lined up in that FB1 column, right? Okay. So they've all gone up.
Okay. New commercial building. So this is real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's that shopping center, if you will.
Right.
Jimmy John's and Verizon and Cobalt and
I'm going to change them and make sure when they send us back, they get the copy so they know that they did this wrong.
Okay.
Should
we
and I'll talk
wait
to Dale
until they
about it.
Turn it back in, right?
Well, good question about that. Rosie told me earlier is that they're supposed to have these forms back by...
They have to have them in by May 17th. Approved.
They have to be approved and back into the... assessor's office or whoever. So.
Which I kind of wanted to discuss that with
you
guys.
So. Because there's a lot of people that did not turn in their forms, as you would imagine.
Yeah, I talked with Dale about that earlier. So
yeah.
Yeah. And we just
that's the thing that lights me up every year.
I know.
We just are tired of babysitting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I concur. I mean, it's not that we have not worked with them over the years, but they seem to be, they don't take it as serious.
Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If council chooses not to fund them, that's what happens. I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about thousands of dollars these individuals aren't going to necessarily be saving because they can't fill out one form and get it to us on time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a jerk about it, but at the end of the day,
And he did say the Holiday Inn was supposed to be in today and go over finishing his paperwork, but he never got it to me, so if I didn't show up, I don't know.
So before we go down that road,
because
I think we're all chomping at the bit to go down that road, BR Real Estate being in front here, I mean, again, I think they messed up some of the numbers, but based on previous numbers, I mean, it's up to you. You got it's a council decision.
Yeah, I think we should go, at least me personally, we can discuss it, obviously. I think because Rosie has the historical numbers, which would deem this accurate and showing growth, I'm fine with this one, just so they know they do it correctly next time. At least we have the information. It may not be accurate. At least it's on time.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how it fails.
Well, I mean, again, I agree. It was on time. I obviously, their numbers need to be improved, but we've marked those. So.
And I didn't catch that, or I would have got them changed.
Although, to be fair, it's really not your job
not
to
your
do
job.
That.
No.
But, yes, I get what you're saying. So, okay. Other thoughts on that? Are we okay? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve BR Real Estate, to find BR Real Estate in compliance and approve another year of abatement?
Question.
Yes, sir.
So, if it's not approved, obviously they don't get their tax.
Abatement. That's correct.
And that is no longer available till the end of the. Till, I mean, they, basically it goes away, or do they have a year to come back and recover?
Well, technically, if you refuse it and you put down the reason, they could come back to you and ask you to approve it later, like the next meeting.
Oh.
So there is an opportunity, one, to let them know that we're serious about it, but they can make corrections and then we can move forward. I mean, if we don't do anything, you know, I don't think they're going to do anything. So
theirs was one of the first ones I got in, but I know that's not an excuse. But
So now I'm confused, Rosie, because I thought what you said was they need to have these forms back by the 17th to in order to turn them into the.
But you can make an exception if say they came in next meeting. Then
the council can make that
exception and approve it, or you can deny it here.
Yeah, I can do what you want to do. We can say whatever we want. I mean, at the end of the day, I totally understand what you're saying about this, and this is your decision, not mine. Understand, obviously, the individuals that have not turned in their forms, I get it. Hammer them. We've told them long enough. It is what it is. We're not their parents, right? With this one, I kind of feel like there was a clerical error, yes, but I think they're doing what they're in compliance with what they're supposed to be doing.
And they've really only done this one other time. I mean, they're not. It's not like it's been an ongoing.
Yeah.
So the worst thing that could happen is they have to come back in 2 weeks and ask for an addendum.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the worst thing is their abatement is not valid for 2 weeks. It doesn't say I can't come back.
Sure. If you guys decide to send it back and say you need to fix these numbers, then you can do that. And you'll have to come back and do that.
Yeah. And I know. I mean, I think this sends a message not just to them, but the message of...
This is important to get it accurate when you're talking about thousands of dollars from the city.
So it's in garbage out. So it's
hard.
It's garbage in, garbage out. It allows stuff to come in and not very accurate. What did I call them next time?
It's not that you're finding them out of compliance, it's that you're going to table it for 2 weeks, send it back, and have them improve the numbers.
Correct.
Yeah. You just want to make sure I'm clear about
that. Yeah, there's no problem with what they have there other than the numbers aren't right. So
you get a hold of Bill and have him update those numbers. Okay. So we will table the BR real estate CF1 form. You want to have a broader discussion about the other CF1s that are not in? Do we know how many roughly those are, really? Because I feel like it's a lot.
If they're not in,
two.
We can't vote on them.
Well, I know that. I'm not asking you to vote on them. I'm just saying, understand that they may come in later, and if you guys...
We talked about it last
time. Yeah.
I know this.
Yeah. So I talked to Dale about it earlier today, and he said that he notifies everybody.
Okay.
Giving them the dates that they need to have all this paperwork in by. He said he heard from some of them. Obviously, we received some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got other things to do.
Yep.
We can't hold their hands on this. So that if they can't respond to requests
sure.
like that, I mean.
Yep.
There's 10 that are not in. And talking to the county assessor's office, she agrees that we should not be.
Yeah, I think we.
I think we have a kind of an expectation to the taxpayers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jenny, do you have anything to say? I saw you unmute.
Yes, I did. I actually agree with Chad. I mean, honestly, like if they can't fill out the form, then why should we give it to them? And we all know deadlines. I mean, you have deadlines, pay your taxes. I have deadlines, and I mean, it's not that hard to fill out one form.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
So the 10 that we have.
10 that we don't have.
That we do, I'm sorry, thank
yep.
you.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have
mm-hmm.
still has the opportunity of that 2-week window.
Wow.
I mean,
they could, well,
that's my question. Are they just cut out, period?
So, I mean, if it's by the 17th, that means we're not meeting again. We're not going to have a special executive meeting to approve their. I mean, they have opportunity to get it in. I mean, I don't know. Too bad the deadline didn't coincide with our meeting, but, you know, they...
Well, if they get it turned in on time, which they still have a few days,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Then
mm-hmm.
we would just vote on it yeah. at the next meeting, right?
But it's every year.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't feel bad about it.
No, I get that. So I think the question is, if they bring it in between now and the next meeting,
it'll be on the next.
It'll be on the
agenda. Okay. If they bring it in,
because that's their deadline, correct? So they have a chance to do the right
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. So we should still look at it.
But they're supposed to have it to us or to the assessor on the 17th.
It has to be. I don't have my glasses on. Let me see. I don't know if it's so long. I thought that was good. But I believe that's what it is, because that's what I was talking to the assessor about her, because she kept saying, don't you have any yet?
Says this form must also be updated each year in which the deduction is applicable. It is filed with the county auditor and the designating body before May 15th.
Oh, there it is.
Or by the due date of the real estate, or by the due date of the real property owner's personal property return that's filed in the township where the property is located. I'm just looking at the top of the form. This is where I think you were looking at.
The instructions be the very first thing.
This is on video. Yeah, so they
need to file it to us and the auditor or assessor or whatever it was. So, yeah. So, if, I guess as long as it's in by that date, then we can still take it up at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. Yeah.
The question is, if it's not in by that date, the council is not taking it under consideration. And that's followed through the council.
Yep.
Okay.
We've talked about this for years now.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm not defending them. I'm not at all. I just want to make sure it's crystal clear what the policy of the council is going to be. And I agree with you. I agree with you. Can't fill out a form. You don't deserve thousands of dollars to come with the abatement. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the day, not everyone gets abatement.
Yep.
Like, if you get one, you're fortunate. You should do what you need to do to
yep.
get it.
Yep. I gotcha. I agree. Okay. With that, Jenny, I will tell you I'm at 9%, so if I black out, I apologize. I don't have an Audi. Okay. Department head, Chip.
Okeala was a pretty good hit for the ribbon cutting. I told Board of Works, NDOT has changed the speed limit on 109 north of town. It's going to go from 30 to 40 to 55 to 30. 45 to 55, and we had Arbor Day May 30th. It was a huge success, and I know Ken thanked you guys for his awards. So that's all I got.
Question to Chip. Thank you, Kelly.
We had a sewer break on West Van Buren Street last week, and currently we have to dig out some of the ramp and sidewalk, and we're trying to get that fixed back up right now in-house with our guys. And we have some, I don't know if the mayor, was you going to talk about the funds?
Yeah, I can. So as I think I sent an email to everybody, but obviously Community Crossings didn't go the way we wanted it. So I just sent an email out, right?
Yeah.
This is not a new thing. Okay. Instead of $1 million that we requested, we ended up getting about $100,000+. So we went back through the application. Chip talked to NDOT a little bit to figure out what the issue was there. We've kind of been redirected a little bit, which is good. So we'll be going in for the second round for the full $1 million. But the problem is with the construction schedule being where it's at, that will push us to $2,022 for the construction of Westgate, first phase of Westgate. So that leaves all the dollars, the curb and sidewalk and transportation, street paving dollars that we were planning for Westgate for this year's budget kind of available. So what I've asked Kelly to do is kind of prepare a street paving list and kind of a sidewalk curb thing for this year, to, just like we have in past years, utilize those dollars, and then we use $22 for Westgate. So it's frustrating on a lot of levels, but talking to NDOT, and as we met this yesterday, I think, we feel good about round two. So I have talked to one of the more vocal residents of Westgate to inform her of what's going on, and while disappointed, she's at least aware of it. So. Now, with that being said, we are already starting to make improvements at Westgate, though. So we are working on electric improvements there. I think we're going to do water lines in there as well. So Westgate residents will start to see work happening. Well, actually, you've already been out there, haven't you? So they're already starting to see work out there. It's just the street, curb, sidewalk stuff is going to be delayed. So probably end of the year, beginning of next year, but...
Is the community of Westgate received here's what we're doing?
So keep in mind, we just got this information a week and change ago. So, and we just met yesterday to kind of figure out plan of action.
Yeah.
So been thinking through that a little bit. I want to do a couple of different things. Either maybe we do a meeting with the neighborhood. Maybe we send out a letter. I know Sean's already sent out letters to the customers out there to say, hey, we're going to be doing electrical improvements in your neighborhood. But we could either do a meeting or maybe do a letter to everybody. I'd also like to maybe create a neighborhood Facebook group. That'd be a heck of a lot easier than calling a meeting or sending out. How many letters, Sean? Something like that, yeah. So it'd be a lot easier to figure out a better path of communication with residents. But certainly been answering those questions as people come in and talk about them on my lunch with the mayor and try to pass on that information more. But yeah, we'll either be doing a meeting or a letter to them.
Sure.
Yeah. So it is in the, now that we have our heads wrapped around what's going on. So sorry, Kelly, go ahead.
I just wanted
money.
To know why we were able to, some of the projects we're going to push back.
Yep.
Got moved up this year because of that.
Yep.
One of the projects was City Hall sidewalk. We did currently last year in front of City Hall with ice melt. Worked with Flowtech on that, and we want to try to utilize those dollars to finish the rest of that along Van Buren and Market, and then couple, two or three roads that we want to target, and then work on some of the crosswalks around town. The bricks are bad shape, and we just want to work on those too. So there's a few things that we're going to utilize dollars for. Just wanted you guys to be aware of that. That's it. I'll just stop it there.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you. Tom?
Well, how far did you want, you want me to
go,
into?
Do everything.
Do everything? First of all, I got to touch on what Kelly told you a minute ago about the water main break that happened down here at Oak, and I told the Board of Works about this, Oak and Van Buren. There were two fellow department heads there that day. I just happened to be with Kelly. He was bringing me back to City Hall. We were going to deliver this pipe, and they struck into this water line, and I got to tell you, it made a heck of a noise. Then all of a sudden, it was like Old Faithful erupted, and my excitement and exuberance was like out of this world, and it was not followed by these two. They did not share the same level of excitement that I did. And then really got a little irritated when I recommended Flex Seal to seal up the pipe. It'll seal up a boat. I thought, what the heck, maybe it'll seal up a pipe. They informed me it would not. So thought I'd tell you my story about that. Yeah, you're welcome. Thought that'd be a good icebreaker into, if you recall, back during the department head, the mayor's retreat back in February, I had mentioned that there was going to be $90,000 left in my budget due to the CARES Act money that the mayor found for us that we utilized. I know, it was all you.
I did not find that, for the record. That is your tax money coming back to the city.
That the mayor graciously found for us.
Does it sound like it's in a box?
Apparently, I just, you know, found it in the backyard. So.
Yeah. So there was $90,000 going to be left in our budget this year, and I would had mentioned that I would love to purchase a training facility for our department so that it does several different things. Number one, it gets us into compliance with a lot of the training requirements that we are required to provide to our firefighters that we're unable to do so currently because of the fact that the state does provide training facilities in several locations outside of county, and the logistics of getting our firefighters there, taking our equipment there to use at those locations, and the time that it takes to drive to those locations to utilize those facilities. So currently, there are a lot of things we aren't doing that we should be doing. Kyle will probably touch a little into that here in just a little bit. With that being said, the cost of these training facilities, we just found out that since the first year, they have went up almost $10,000 since the first year. We do have, and Kyle contacted, I can't, Joe?
Todd.
I'm sorry, single syllable, simple mind. Contacted this gentleman, and he did give us a locked-in quote that is good until tomorrow. Good until tomorrow, but there's no guarantees after that on the cost, because the cost of steel and everything else across this world is going crazy. It went up from 96,000, Kyle, correct me, 96,400?
96,800 to 106,400, so it's 9,600 bucks, 10%.
Thank you. In the last couple months, or just recently, he just contacted you, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So before we get another price increase, and he doesn't know, because the cost of steel fluctuates daily, and he can't give us a lock-in price, and the projection is it is going to go nothing but up. Kyle's going to show you a video on this, but I guess keep in mind that at the end of this presentation, I would like the council to commit that we are able to purchase this facility with the caveat that a temporary location in I know it's very easy in government that temporary is the new permanent. I do not want our temporary location to be a permanent location of the museum. This is a portable unit. You'll see that here in just a moment. It can be moved very easily. And then I'll go into some further details after the presentation.
This is Todd Shepard, the co-owner, and his father are co-owners of Fire Force Incorporated outside of Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. Columbus. Fire Force was founded in 1985. They started with training crops. Within the last several years, they've moved into training buildings. They offer something newer on the market. There's a kit. It's made from what we call the Ryan's boxes, the dual shipping containers. These are single-use shipping containers that are shipped one time from overseas in the United States and then they're purchased. They hand select those based on our design, so if there's a big dent on the side of a shipping container and we know we're having a door there, they'll select that container for us. They are affordable unit. I guess I should just show you a video and then we'll answer the questions.
Should we check the audio? Hopefully the audio works.
If the audio don't work, I'll do I'll sing Eye of the Tiger to you.
Please let the audio work. Are you connected now? Do you want to just refresh it and see if maybe?
You got it working.
Hi, I'm Todd Shepard with Fire Force. Many of you may be familiar with our company for our forceful entry simulators, but we're proud to introduce a first in industry and innovative approach to live fire training structures. Behind me, you'll see our new training structure. What makes it unique is every feature that makes it a training building, from the doors and windows, the grading and catwalk and railing, the steps and walking down, from our forcible entry doors to van doors and windows, and our live fire training burn rooms are all bolt-in ready, no welding needed, ready to ship to the training needs. With Fire Force, whether you choose a turnkey building or our kit approach, we'll provide you the perfect building for your training needs. From 3D modeling through the build and NFPA compliance duty, Fire Force will be with you every step of the way.
Bear with me just a second here.
I guess what you're seeing there is a modern NFPA compliant training facility. The days of us having people call us up saying, hey, we have a house that we want to get rid of, can you burn it down? Those days are gone for multiple reasons, especially in the city limits. Can you still do it? Yes, but you have to have an asbestos check done, which means any asphalt shingles are going to have to be removed. The old sidings are going to have to be removed. There are tons of things that have to be done. It's costly, and very costly to burn down somebody's old house. Now, in the city limits, it's even worse and probably impossible because, well, what do we have around them? Tight quarters and compact people, which when you get people in smaller areas with breathing issues, a block away and the smoke hits them and people start complaining of their asthma's bad or they got COPD or whatever they may have, we hold the liability if we injure one of their respiratory systems, especially with the Clean Air Act. So us burning in the city limits to train on somebody's old house, those days are gone. And Kyle, we sent him to a class and got him NFPA certified to be a live fire trainer for us. And when we all started talking about this, it became blatantly clear we keep our guys trained because low frequency, high risk events are the ones we need to be training on the most. So no different than the police use and go train on with their firearms, we need to train our guys for live fire and fire entry because of the fact that's the low frequency, high risk things that we do. So I asked tonight, I know it's kind of a quick
we need this thing, and we moved on this really quick. It, cost is driving some of our rapidness to you. If you have any questions, we'd definitely field those for you. I'm sorry, the mayor had asked me if the pad and the strip foundation was included in the price, and it is not, which that actually brings up another point. But Callie said that we can do that in-house, and it would be at low cost, which we would still have some money left in the budget to put that in. The other thing is, and if you heard him in there, that these are kits. Now, they can come put these together for us, but it's cost of the tile threatening. Or go ahead.
This would be about another $150,000 of a turnkey kit with this organization. With other organizations or the companies that build these buildings, they do a modular system, not with these Connex boxes. For what we're looking at least $350,000.
Where would you plan on putting this? Down at the fire?
Where we're talking about temporarily putting it, Dan, is down by the fire museum. But I know there's a group out, Gary, Walt, and myself have been researching some possible purchases of land for future development for a public safety building. This is a portable unit, so we could move it to that, and we would love to move it to a permanent home wherever we find that to be in the future.
I thought that's where it was.
This is just, to me, this is taking the bite out of the elephant that needs to happen in the future. Doing it now before it gets to the point where we don't have the money for it. Because at the end of the year, I lose that money in the budget anyway, it goes to your general fund. But it takes a bite out of that elephant that has been before us for the last 10, 20 years and moves it so we can keep our guys trained and get them trained up to the level they need to be to do the job that we're hired to do.
So as a reminder, from a financial aspect, we had budgeted in the fire team fund and in the LOIT fund for the air pack. Because of the CARES Act, we shifted some of the LOIT dollars that we would have spent on the air pack. We got spent out of got spent out of the CARES Act funding. So that's where the difference is effectively. That when he says he has the money, that it was originally scheduled in the LOIT for those air pack purchases, but because the CARES Act took care of those air pack purchases, it left a sizable chunk of money there for a purchase like this. And honestly, when Kyle and Tom first brought this to me, I was a little skeptical, but just starting to really look at the way in which they are utilizing it. And I don't know, do you have any pictures of like any of the interior stuff, or did you not include those? Like how you set it up so that, because again, we're looking at a box, right? We don't know what that even
is. No, really. The reason I pulled this box, this is actually the color that would be with the black and red because of cost effectiveness.
Yeah. But that color kind of blends with your current fire museum, right?
Yeah.
Sort of, kind of. So, but do you have any pictures of like the interior? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you run through that, Kyle.
Yeah, so first of all,
explain that picture, Kyle.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's going to look like that, like tall.
Yeah, so this is the building you just looked at in the video. Their 3D rendering, which we will sit down and do this with. And by the way, this isn't something we just automatically jumped on. This has actually been my goal and objectives for the last 3 or 4 years to acquire a facility. So you can see these semi-trailer boxes, if you will, and the concrete at each end. That's all they sit on, the strip footer. It's 2 foot deep, 10 foot wide, per box. So as opposed to other manufacturers out there that have actual footers and concrete pads and that extra cost, which makes this a portable unit. Unfortunately, the only drawing I have tonight is a hand-drawn rough sketch, okay? So what we're going to have is 2 boxes on top of each other, a 4 foot open space, and 2 more boxes on top of each other. And then this company will laser cut and manufacture the spacers that will close in that open space in between the boxes.
To simulate
a hallway, a staircase. The staircase that's going to go to the second floor will be in that open space. So therefore, we don't have to cut open the bottom of the semi-trailer box. We could actually, in the video, you saw the railing that he was standing on outside. That was built for a college. They wanted students to be able to stand up there. We could actually eliminate that railing and get another box. They put up four boxes for the same kind of money. And we're not doing anything elaborate. You know, this fits our needs, not only for live fire training, but any other fire ground activity that we do that we don't have to have live fire for. You see the staircase in there. That void space in between, like I spoke about, is where the staircase will be. So you go to the top of the stairs, you can go right or left. Into the simulated living room, simulated bathroom, first floor of the simulated kitchen. This is a burn room. Again, one thing that's very unique about them is they're fold-in burn rooms. We can stand on the outside of this metal box with the fire inside of this burn room and put our hand, bare hand against that wall on the outside. Very well insulated, very efficient for burning. That's something we're running into with one of the training facilities we go to now, that there's a lot of damage, a lot of extra heat, and the fire escaped their burn room and went to the third floor and burnt the entire third floor of this burn tower, and the third floor is not meant to be burned. That's something we would avoid here. So if there's damage to this room, though, it bolts and unbolts, we take it out and we put it back, put a new one in. You'll see the fire bricks on the floor. These are all NFPA compliant and certified by this organization. Through NFPA, when you do a burn, then there's, of course, math and equations that go into this, but what you can burn, how much of what you can burn goes into this. And that is figured out by them for us to keep us compliant. And it's, you're burning straw, wood, clean wood, what we call Class A burn materials. One thing that you suggested to us is if you want to create smoke at the after Christmas, have everybody bring their old Christmas trees to you, which are allowed to be burnt. And we can create smoke with those. So that's what we're looking at there. Forcible entry. What's nice about this, most manufacturers, you have to buy a separate forcible entry door. So for those locked structures we're going into, that's quite an art and a skill to be able to force those. These doors are built right in. The door on the first floor on the left is a forcible entry door built right into the structure. Once it's lived its life, and we beat it enough, then we can unroll it and replace that. Whereas, like I said, the competitors that are out there, that forcible entry door would wheel up to in front of that building. You force the entry through that, go through it, and then go to the real door into the building. Not very realistic. The portable doors don't have a lifespan that something like this does, and you wheel them around, so they're not fixed, which creates challenges. The other thing is, we can expand on these if we choose to go higher or add more boxes. Sometimes people will put a perpendicular box at the end to simulate a garage, and we can put a car that we burn in that garage, and how that would spread to the fire and how that affects specific scenario would be handled.
I think one of the things you also told me, and maybe you're getting there and I'm just jumping the gun, but you also said, like, you can, like, change vents and you can change to make things flow differently so that it changes the environment for those firefighters. And
correct. You see on the second floor, just left of that red window, there's some black slider panels. How do you get your fireplace hotter if you have a fireplace? You open the damper, you close the damper, that's exactly what this is. We can manipulate the fire, how it flows, how the smoke goes in different directions. Have a fire in one section of the house, and we can manipulate those windows that it really moves heat and smoke to another section of the house. How today is the wind, 8 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour, 20 mile an hour a day drastically affects our work environment. And we can manipulate that with those control panels.
I have a couple questions
for
you. So is this something that other fire departments around here have or no? And then also, is it something that would be a training opportunity for other departments to use too?
In Whitley County, no, there's no, not one. The nearest one we have is 30 mile. The one we use for the high school class is the Southwest Fire District, just south of the Omaha International Airport. 2 hours just in traffic. And it doesn't seem that much to go to the airport, but still quite a bit. The thing about Fire Force, we would have a great relationship with them to train, where we can host train. That's good for our agency. I'm not saying it's a money-making opportunity. I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole, but it is an opportunity for us to train. It's an opportunity for us to bring in other departments to train with us. The conversation would have to be had if we wanted how we were going to handle departments in our county using this facility. Again, a lot of liability involved there, and not to mention wear and tear. The mayor had a question. Could we find out cost per burn for maintenance? It really depends on how many times we burn it, right? Right now, their team is figuring about 125 to 150 burns a year. Your major maintenance cost is coming about every 5 years. Maybe replacing the panel. The biggest maintenance cost you're going to have is the paint. Repainting it. And if we don't like the tan and red this year, we'll go to black and red next year. You know, maroon and gold. We talked about that. So the biggest cost is that paint. But it is for to help our maintenance costs, the bolt-in ready components are pretty cost efficient. Talking about liability with an FDA, they will inspect this annually for us, and that's in our contract. It would be in our contract. And every 5 years, that's a visual inspection annually. Every 5 years, NFPA requires an engineer inspection, and they will handle that as well.
I had the opportunity to go with the guys, and it's really a simulator. You set up the environment on the way how you want to train and what type of training, either from search and rescue or to actually establish a flashover. And the flashover, not many firemen in this area have seen that. Okay. Thank you. But I'm just saying, to recognize the hazard means a lot. And that's what they'll see here in a controlled environment. The hazard is still there, but it's also controlled. So that's some of the things that, you know, just one of many things that you've touched on. But I think the biggest thing is we train our guys, obviously safety, through that whole process. And Tom, I know you got a staff that takes a lot of ownership to that. But I think the people that we met with from Columbus, he's a full-time fireman, so he deals with this. His dad deals with this, so he grew up in the environment. So he knows he can talk the talk and walk the walk, because he already knows the answers to the questions that he was asking. So I just wanted to share that with you. I appreciate the opportunity to go with you and see this. In not in action, but just see how it's structured, and it's solid.
The nice thing is it is a very affordable unit.
Right.
It's no different than if we bought a forced entry door that was on wheels, like I spoke about, and put it in the parking lot museum. The same thing, it's bigger. We did figure out that it would be passing to the ground, which is easily done by the manufacturers that are used to that. Passing to the ground, as we're going to be required to do. Then the bosses themselves are passing each other as well. The city, as we talk about sidewalks and things, the city does employ a lot of personnel with skill to help us with this and know-how, and the fire department itself employs a lot of people with the skill and equipment to put this kit together. And it's not blindly, it's very detailed plans and instruction and whatnot.
Well, we have this thing fenced in so we don't have anything crazy.
That is our plan, is to have a fence around this facility so that we don't have somebody getting in there to get hurt. It'll be secured anyway, but I think a fencing would be a highly intelligent thing for us to do.
Well, one thing you kind of touched on a little bit, but I think it would be helpful for the council to understand is the issue with training. So you kind of touched on a little bit that the fact that you have to have a certain amount of trainers every time you go somewhere, the fact that there's very few trainers that are currently available for those kind of things. You also mentioned obviously going to Southwest Fort Wayne, Southwest Allen, whatever, and just with their facility and kind of being on the fritz at the moment and things like that, how that impacts. Because again, the training, obviously, the training is a huge aspect of this, certainly, but having a kind of that better understanding of why that's becoming more and more of a challenge for you all.
Okay, that's a good point. Sorry, I was trying to quickly bring up some pictures there. So you're all familiar with ISO, Insurance Service Organization, right? And that's sometimes where we miss some points in our evaluation of this training, especially on live fire training. We have to have 20 hours per member per month. Sorry, not live fire, but fire training in general, per month. And what he's speaking of, the challenge is not only the physical distance to go to these places, we go to Southwest, we go to Auburn. Those are the two we use the most. Not only the physical distance being a challenge, some new legislation in the Indiana Fire Academy, those are district funds, those are funded by the state, those facilities. To go use those facilities now, I cannot take our staff, I cannot take my class to those facilities without hiring state employees, fire instructors now. There are five live fire instructors employed by the state of Indiana. So the logistics and scheduling nightmare that proposes is a challenge. This will be our building. This will be our city's building. This would not be owned or funded by the state of Indiana. And those restrictions that would not apply to us. Now, yes, like you spoke about, I and we're going to have some other instructors certified as live fire instructors for our own liability and own beneficial purposes. So, that answer your question?
Absolutely, it does.
What kind of time frame are you looking at? If we go with this tonight, when will you receive this? How soon can you put this together?
So, again, this price, I have to lock this price in for tomorrow. As the chief spoke about it, according to Todd Shepard at Fire Force, their steel price has gone up 300% since we were there March 26th. And now those are out of flow, obviously. Our price increase has gone up 10%, but he won't hold that for some longer. So like once we give a PO, we'll sit down with them and go through 3D rendering, which then if we all get drawings to do everything. As far as a definitive 3 weeks, 3 months, I don't know. I think the big point, like the chief spoke about, finding the elephant and getting this purchase. Do you remember
the delivery time?
Yeah.
I think we left it as an open topic because they actually go to the shipping docks when they bring them into the docks.
Yes, and that's one thing, if I could touch on that, because that's one thing I thought when I spoke to him yesterday. He said, as soon as I get a PO, I'm going to source these boxes. Because when you're not the boxes, we're going to have to.
True.
I was just curious.
Yeah. So what are we paying now for training on an annual basis?
Let me kind of jump into that with you a little bit. The state facilities, to utilize the state facilities, they're free. Get into them. Trying to gain access to those because everybody and their brothers want to do it. And so you're limited by the availability of those facilities, not to mention the fact, as Kyle said, it's going to get worse because we're only going to have five live fire trainers in the state for us to utilize. So then it's going to become even more of a scheduling nightmare, not to mention when we take our guys over there, you don't have a fire department here. Straight up, that's how it is.
Take our apparatus out of the city, our personnel out of the city.
So, but you mentioned, though, to Tad's point a little bit, you mentioned, like, when you're going to go take your fire class, your okay. current fire students to a place. You still got to hire people, or you got to pay people.
Yeah, you had mentioned you have to hire a trainer. So what's that cost each time you go and do that?
So we're going to do a case there. If we go to the state facility and the state instructor, which we have to do, we don't have to pay for that.
Okay.
But again, we'll go back to the logistical nightmare of that. Mm-hmm. When I take the fire class at high school out there, I hire at least four instructors, not mm-hmm. just myself. And that's an 8 to 10 hour day, at $20 an hour for wear and tear, fuel, consumables. We bought plywood lately.
I know it's up 800%.
When I go to Morse's bar, Morse's to buy OSD for $40 a sheet, and I'm literally going to burn.
Yeah. No, I know.
And I they allow me to go through a strength class.
Yeah. So it's roughly $1,000. And how many burns do you guys do a year? Or is that you guys, you training? I'm just trying to get an idea.
If I may rephrase that question, how many burns can we do a year?
On average, how many times do you go a year with
for our department?
Yeah.
Because the time commitment, and I'm just being one of the time commitment to go over there, we can't get people to commit to that.
Okay.
And to that point, and I think this is even answer your question a little bit more, Tad, because I don't want to lose our department here because we have to be here. And then to, let's say I send Toby over there, that's, Rosie, correct me if I'm wrong, these guys, I have to give them time off every month to keep them out of overtime. So if we send them over there, I'm paying each one of them $35 an hour to go to this facility. Now, keep in mind, Kyle told you that drive time alone is an hour each way. So I'm going to be paying 2 hours, $70 per firefighter, of my full-time guys, $70 per day in overtime just for drive time. Multiply that times 10. That's your overtime cost for me to send them over there for a day. I don't have a budget.
And I'll add this, that nearly all of our full-time staff has come to the chief and I. We do a quarterly live fire training day for all of them, at least that for your staff. And any volunteers that want to go.
Sure.
We would love to. I would love to. He said that I was going to have fun. But you can mention that cost.
Yeah.
There's 12 of us.
But you'd still pay them if they were here in town, too, though.
Yeah.
If you have the facility, they would still be on the cost.
But they do it on shift.
They do it on their shift.
And I'm not saying no. I'm just trying. I mean, $90,000 is a big expenditure to just think about like that.
Right.
So.
Right.
The other thing is what's an 8 hour day?
Don't we have a favorable recommendation for the Board of Works?
We Board of Works did approve them moving forward with that pending council approval. Yes, that is true. I think one other thing to keep in mind that we've discussed, not to get off that topic, but while it's in my brain, I gotta say, is that as you are probably very well aware, our friends in the township fire departments. Continue, those numbers continue to dwindle. Just like our volunteers dwindle. But it is creating more and more and more need for our guys to go outside of the city limits to go help them, help those townships, fight those fires, respond to those wrecks, do those, sometimes those medical emergencies, things like that. And while we try really hard to keep our guys inside our city limits, sometimes we gotta go. I mean, we gotta go help. It's a mutual aid agreement that we have. But I can't imagine that it's going to get any better. The amount of times we go outside, and so kind of to the point of the more times that we can keep our guys inside the city limits, training here, and not sending them out to then have to figure out replacements and do all that kind of thing, is the better it's going to be. But so.
And Kyle, I support your statement earlier about the unit. We want to train our guys, and I think that's going to open the opportunities for other departments in a 50-mile radius. They call on you to say, can I send two guys? you know. So I think they're going to look at an opportunity because it's close enough. It could be volunteer people because a lot of the rural is volunteer. But the safety and recognize your situation and the risk that you're putting yourself in. It's hard to describe that unless you've been into a flashover. So if you can recognize it before it happens, you prepare yourself, or you can understand what's going to happen. They initially wanted to flash so they could see that. So that as a firefighter, you could see what you're getting into.
So we'll flash over early enough and ignite at once, including if we're in the event. Right, so we have a quick response time here in town, and we can get there before a flashover happens, which means our people need to be able to recognize that. We're going to get into that fire. We need to be able to recognize when it's going to flash over. In a flashover, a firefighter has 2 steps or 2 seconds to get in. Two steps or 2 seconds, very dead. That role. So with a quick response time, we are there before flash service happens. And I'll be honest, today's fire environment has changed drastically from 20 years ago. Everything today is all synthetic. Nothing is real. No, your furniture is blue, holding hands with solid. It's synthetic materials, And there's no real wood, there's no cotton, there's no wool. Our fire is propagating a lot faster today. When your smoke detector went off in the 80s, you had 15 minutes, 12 to 20 minutes, really, to get up. Your smoke detector goes off today, you have 3 minutes. And I love our energy-efficient homes. They're just that. They're energy-efficient. Firefighters also sort of hold all of that in there. It doesn't allow you that to escape. Progressing that fire event even faster. So luckily, it is a low-frequency event for us. For citizens, but that's becoming more and more high risk for us. And if you look at that from a risk management standpoint, that's when you train on the low risk or low frequency high risk. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're
doing. Right. I think you gave it a fantastic demonstration, and I see a great need for this. I would like to make a motion that we go ahead and approve the purchase of the firebox as they presented with the dollar amounts that they've requested for that unit. I don't know the official amount at this point, but
$106,400 for the facility itself, and then we'd have to get Kelly and his guy to put the concrete in for us, and then the fence dish. But I do have the funding for that. I checked with Rosie today. But I don't have, if we continue down this path, I'm not going to have the money for anything else. But, so, yeah, what you need to approve for us to get this coming would be $106,400.
Okay, $106,400 with the amount to be determined for the concrete base.
Not to exceed.
The 106.
$106,400 at this point?
Yeah, for the actual purchase.
For the actual purchase of the box, yes.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion. By the way, Jenny left us. I think her phone rang out before mine did. So. Okay, then we'll call for a vote. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present.
Do you have to go along and do it?
I don't, because she's not here anymore, so I don't have to do it. The only reason I was doing that is because we had a virtual participant.
Okay.
That's the new law, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Tom, and all everybody else. I know there's a lot of people that didn't work on that, so thank you for that, for those efforts. I'm excited to see it, and excited to have that training facility in our backyard that our guys can continually train and be the best. You know, again, we talked about want to make it the best equipped, best prepared individuals on our department, both of our public safety departments. So, great. Thank you, sir. You have anything else? Anything you want to ask for money for?
I'm going to beat Mark Green to the punch here, and I got to pick on him a little bit. We do still have our catalytic converters in our vehicles. It's just we have one of them that went out, and so I'm not going to report when all of our vehicles are operational anymore. I'm not going to tell you that. You're just going to assume it so that my stuff don't break. Every time I tell you things are good, something breaks. But I do want to tell you that our catalytic converters are still in the vehicles they were originally purchased with.
Good. Thank you for that. Questions or comments? Gary.
Well, I'll try to make mine quick. Just a couple of things I want to touch on my report that I sent earlier today. Master Perlman Hodges was appointed to the deputy chief. I'm excited about that to get started. He has the same qualities that I have as far as customer service and passion for the community. We began doing the stop-on violation with the Woodley County Consolidated Schools, and actually we've been out twice on two different buses and had no violations at all, so good job to our community for that. They did install the firearms training simulator today. It's installed. We tried to do some training on it, and I would say that the trainer is more of an installer than a trainer, so we got some things got to work out with the company on that. I do have a call in for them to see if they can send us down an actual trainer and not an installer. So I think I was trained on it 2 years ago when I was here, and I think I still remember probably more from that incident than what he reported in a six-hour day today. So, Okie Alley, Chip touched on that. Farmer's Market and First Friday went off about a hit to. I heard no negative things on that, so that was great. As far as dispatch or police, there are a few other things that you guys can read yourselves on that. Nothing of significance. Dispatch, had a couple dispatchers step up here lately, and have really been stepping up in short notice and filling shifts, so I appreciate them for that. And Jeremy Conrad also continues to do well and progress. Dispatch should be fully staffed here shortly as well.
Questions, Gary? Thank you. Mr. Shota.
We're starting to install the new AMI meters. As the meters go bad, we're replacing them with them. And also any new homes that we're looking up will have the new AMIs in it.
Okay. Question, Mike? Thank you, Mike.
During the Board of Works meeting, we got approval to replace our loader tractor with a track loader, a bigger and heavier machine for safer operations. We also got approval for a company selection to help us with our TRE, which toxicity reduction that we've been working on for the last 3 years. The launch has 700 Bs for cleaning the force mains. Metals are in the hands of the engineers. Those should be finished up and approved by the end of this week. Long-term control plan, restoration work still continuing on that. Final completion was May 3rd. During the Board of Works meeting, they have also authorized me or wanted me to request from the engineer to start the process for liquidated damages since we have already extended the project to
Two or three times,
mm-hmm. Time extension, and they're still not complete, so it's time for us to recoup some damages on this. So I've already sent the email this evening, and hopefully we'll hear back with the progress on that tomorrow. So that's all I have to do.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Mark.
There's a lot going on, Mark. The new bathrooms are open, so thank you for helping us out with that. So that's been nice. Baseball and softball, our leagues go every Monday through Thursday, and then we have weekend tournaments at times, and they will be next weekend. The Aquatic Center, been there a lot this week, trying to power wash the whole thing. We start filling it probably tomorrow, and hopefully it's full by Friday. So there's a lot of work to get that water ready. And so we only have a few weeks for Memorial Day when we open. So a lot of stuff going on there. We've been trying to keep up with mowing. That's been hard because we don't have all of our full-time or part-time staff yet, but yet sometimes the rain can't go. So we've had a lot of rain lately. Finally done with interviews, which is nice. Had a lot of interviews. We have about 80 part-time staff this summer, just wondering. Want to thank the electric department. They put power to the old high school property, old weight room for us. So that was nice that they would do that for us. So appreciate them doing that. Want to talk about pickleball courts with you. We have pickleball courts. It's the third year, I think, we added those. I ordered today, one of the things that people don't like about our pickleball courts is they're the wrong direction. Most courts go north-south, ours goes west. But at the same time, when we built those pickleball courts, we didn't plan putting pickleball courts there. When we built that Vista area, it was just putting the skater rink in so we could get the grant and make it a multi-seasonal facility instead of just being over the summertime. So the sun is a problem for them because the sun goes up east, down to the west, and so it's in their eyes. I did order today a windscreen to hopefully help with that. I don't know how much it would also be calling physical offense, but I did look into the option of taking two tennis courts down the bowl. With two tennis courts, you could get six pickleball courts on there. That is a $10,000 expense for the nets and the posts. It's a $10,000 expense to paint it. And then any other asphalt issues, which we do have them there. The asphalt is not good. That would be a cost for that, but I don't know what it is. So, if people talk to you, I know Dan's been approached. I know the mayor's been approached. I've read some of the emails. They would like to have something done. I just want to let you know what I know. I bought the windscreen. Hopefully that helps. I can't just go out and build more pickleball courts like they're requesting, or just turn the ones that we have. That all takes money. But if you wanted to take two tennis courts, we could. However, that's going to take at least $20,000 to do that. So.
Where do we have? Do we have money available for something like that, or do we, or do we not?
We could just buy a bunch of sunglasses and hand them out at the gate. You can buy a lot of sunglasses with $20,000.
I remind the council that you at the last meeting you approved a $300,000 loan for a $400,000 park barn. So we may be able to budget that, or at least a portion of that, for next year. I do not believe it's in the 21 budget for that.
I just thought I'd bring it up.
It's a good question. It's a good question. Especially for the constituency.
Any opportunity to extend it towards the out of the existing parking lot? Or is that
probably not that way. Probably could go toward the community foundation.
Yeah.
Double that. I don't know.
Because right now they are you said they're east and west, right?
Yes.
Currently. And the so in order to turn them to north and south, where would we need to build out to, I think, is the question that is
about towards the administration.
I mean, so if we built toward the administration building, would we be able to turn them north and south?
If you were to build that way, yeah, we would definitely turn them the right way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter okay, so I guess here's my question. The issue is, if we were to turn them, there's not enough width. Like,
turn the ones we have now.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
I think you'd have enough width to get two side by side, maybe four. I'm not sure. I don't really answer.
So I guess I'm just wondering, is it a matter of, I guess what I'm trying to get to, Mark, and I'm probably not being clear. If we would turn them from east to west to north and south where they currently sit, would we still be able to get two pickleball courts in there?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So it would just be a matter of, it potentially could just be a matter of paint. Maybe not, though.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the issue is, I mean, yeah, it's fun, but there's a number of people that come in, from what I've been told, there's a number of people that come in from Fort Wayne and Warsaw, from other communities, to come here and play pickleball. And there's people waiting to play pickleball. And that's the issue. If we could get another six courts or whatever it is down there at the bowl,
sure.
Then people have the entertainment value they so desire, I guess. The sun, but they just need more pickleball courts. That's the issue.
So I guess my question would be, Mark, to you, and I don't disagree. Those pickleball courts get used a lot, okay? So I don't want to diminish that thought. But I also think there are individuals, and I will fully explain that Amanda and I like to go play tennis ourselves. I think we also have to play that balance for those individuals that enjoy playing tennis, you know, understanding that certainly the main reason those six courts were, and Mark, I could be wrong about this, but the main reason the six tennis courts were built were really kind of to help the high school, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I can see, so I guess in the way that you're thinking through it, the front portion of the DeVoe Field court, tennis court, is that where you would put the pickleball and then put keep the tennis courts where they currently are, the four courts in the back?
Yeah. However, so that asphalt.
I know that asphalt's bad. I get that.
I have to redo it every 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. Because it's just continually cracks. It's not a good, never a good
problem. I understand that. Well, it's built on top of the sewer line, right?
Exactly. So.
Do you ever have the girls play softball down there and have to play in the sun?
Well, I understand where you're dealing with.
We'll play, Rosie.
Yeah. I'm not
the one. I know you're past your pack down concerns. And I've got those concerns too. I get that.
Somebody complains about something. I remember the whole package. I understand that totally.
And they are huge. I mean, there's people there. The same as basketball.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear about the complaint of the sun.
I never really did.
He said, but I've been told, well, that's why some people don't play during that time, because they can't see. And I'm like, I've never played pickleball, so I don't know how high the ball goes.
Pickleball's kind of fun. It really is.
I've never played it. So I don't
and by the way, the Parks Department has partnered with Old Settlers to put on a pickleball tournament this year during Old Settlers. Right?
Yeah, we're going to try to see if we can get people signed up for it. Every, we have a 5-year plan at the park that expired at the beginning of this year. We were able to get an extension for this year because when they approved it in 2016, they did it very late in the year. So I'm in the process of working with an engineering company to upgrade that and have another additional 5 years. The importance of those is that you have to have a 5-year plan to get grants. And DNR is one that we're applying to right now. We're shipping in the process of working with a grant for that. So we've been trying to get a lot of information to her. Right now, the land is, I think they're done appraising that land. Hopefully use that as a matching. For the matching grant. So we're waiting before we have the appraisal information. I've been getting different prices for different aspects for the west part of the new high school, old high school property, which includes amphitheater, skate park, pump track, nature playground. I asked for that as well. So all the electrical and lighting that would go on the stage, the amphitheater shell, all that. So, and we're working on getting concrete costs for so we'll have all that to include in the DNR grant.
Which is due June 4th, I think.
Yeah, so it's coming up a little quick. Tom mentioned our killer birds on our trucks. This was Friday morning. We can't park all our vehicles inside, which is one of the biggest reasons why we needed to get a barn so we can put everything in. Finally, this is probably the biggest thing that's happened to our equipment outside is that someone got under two of our trucks and took our pads and converters and saw it all and cut them off. And, so they were not running properly at all Friday morning. So we're down two trucks. The cost of those trucks, each truck is $2,500 to repair. Insurance will cover that, but those are two of our lease trucks. So
silver lining is they cut themselves. So you said there was a problem.
There's
blood back there. So.
Did you get on that, Gary? Did you get their blood sample and everything? Like CSI?
Yeah. They need to make
some for printing.
Yeah. Yeah, being proud.
Did they at least leave the sauce out for you?
That's so
gross. And then I also want to talk about the barn expenses. I know I've given Rosie all of that numbers, and I think she wants to get going with the barn of that. So I don't know if we need to approve that somehow. Or
I know that there was, sorry, I wasn't prepared to do this. So a couple of things, obviously, so you approved a $300,000loan project, total of somewhere around 400 and some thousand dollars in regards to that. As a part of that, again, kind of understanding where the rest of that's going to come from. Certainly, we still come back to that scenario of we know we were $400,000 or $500,000 in the hole short on revenue last year. That obviously we're hoping that the American Rescue Plan, we can utilize those dollars coming to the city to kind of backfill some of that. Obviously, a lot of that could go towards us, the $1.92 million that the city said that we've been told we're going to get. So the question comes in, at the end of the day, where do you want to take some of that money from? We've appropriated $200,000 in rainy days, you'll remember. We appropriate $200,000 in rainy days just for if something comes up kind of a thing. So you certainly have that. We could take some out of long-term unplanned and seed it. I will say there's some things that are really popping on seed it right now, which is why we're having a CIP committee meeting after this meeting. But I guess the first batch of that is what, 75? 75 is the first batch. So, I mean, my recommendation would be because. Again, we're anticipating we'll be able to switch around some funds and switch around where those projects are being paid for out of once we read through this Treasury guidance that we got yesterday. We got yesterday from Treasury. So my recommendation is you take it on a rainy day. They can backfill. Certainly welcome your feedback or questions or thoughts on that. So again, we have four hundred seventy-five thousand rainy day right now. Again, appropriated $200,000 for the what if kind of thing at the beginning of the year. I fully anticipate. I mean, gosh, the revenue alone in park non-reverting by itself was $100,000+ long. General certified shares were, but the point of the matter is there's a lot of tax money we didn't necessarily get last year from a revenue perspective, so we anticipate being able to utilize that lost revenue and rolling that into where we need to. So the point is depending on how they do it, I know I'm getting into the weeds and I apologize for that. Depending on how Treasury tells us we can recover that revenue, it may be a scenario we get the first tranche of money into our account that you set up tonight by ordinance, and we pay that first $75,000 for the barn out of rainy day, and then we switch the account number over to the ARP account for that amount. Or it could be a scenario where we say, where Treasury allows us to effectively just fill in those gaps from the previous year, we'll be able to fill it into the budget or fill it into the rainy day and backfill that. My point of saying all that is that I want rainy day to be whole. I know you do too. That's the place we have the most cash that we're not using right now that I think we can easily backfill it. That's a lot. I know that's a lot to kind of take in, but as Rosie and I have talked about it, we feel like that probably will be the best aspect for right now. And then, again, depending on what Treasury tells us to do with that money, we can swap or switcheroo or backfill or whatever we need. So I you know that I've always my historically I've always came to the council and said when I and I've already said I'm never going to spend a dollar of rainy day unless you approve. Even though you've already approved the $200,000 appropriation, I would I guess respectfully request the council vote to move forward with the first $75,000 of this farm out of the rainy day. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Certainly. Tad seconded it. Okay, all those in favor, so for the usual time? It is unanimous of those present. Thank you. And like I said, Rosie and I are going to be going over that treasury stuff soon and just trying to digest it. And I'm sure the state will come back and have additional information they want to provide. So, and then we can kind of go from there. Okay. Thanks, Mark. I'm not going to ask you if you want anything else to be paid for. So, Sean.
Real quickly, everyone got my report last week. I'll just update from last week what's happening this week. Knight Consulting was here for Board of Works. They did approve the engineering portion of the Main Street lighting project. You all should have gotten an email with a drawing of the new pole, the new arm, what it's going to look like. Unfortunately, with being an NDOT project, that goes from a $70,000 to $170,000 to $200,000 project just because it's within NDOT right away. So we'll get the engineering portion started. We'll get drawings. Poles, I'm going to have to get ordered soon, just like everything else. Price is going up. They're aluminum. So I got a quote. They're going to lock that quote in for me for the next 3 months. So right now, they're still standing by the quote. I haven't started the stuff grinding yet. I've got busy. I did have a RFQ go out for the 69 conversion project for new breakers for our north substation breaker interest there. Those quotes will come in on the 25th. Then I'll bring a recommendation to the board, so we'll pull on that. No schedule on June 3rd. Everyone is invited. They should go. Tampa Solar Park ribbon cutting. We don't have an exact schedule yet, but plan on a luncheon followed by ribbon cutting. We're still trying to line up legislators and those sorts of people and get all the schedules aligned. So Tampa will be getting me an official schedule and I'll put that out to everybody that's invited. we have a trailer coming in for quotes right now. Phase one of Westgate continues. We've done along Buddale Drive, which is the farthest south drive. We went along the track with underground primary right already, so we're going to start pulling that wire in, terminating, getting rid of the overhead. Really excited about that project because it's going to not only tie all of our radial feeds together so we have a loop system, but it's going to get rid of all the overhead primary, increasing our reliability a lot while also making just cleaning the whole area up. Seems like it worked out okay because I planned this project and pushed back the rest of it. So at least we're getting something done in the neighborhood for that community. We did get our backup feed for Parkview Hospital. All the conduits are in. We're going to start pulling wire this week. Our vacant spot in the electric department, we had six candidates apply. It seems like we got three or four good candidates. We're going to start interviewing. We had a switchgear fail miserably last week and got that replaced. Got another one ordered. That's about an $18,000 piece of equipment. But my guys did, I think, an amazing job. There was, thousands of people out of power, but they were 90% were back on within 26 or 24 minutes. Got it rerouted. There's about 300 people that were out while we swapped the box. Entire switchgear out, and that was less than 3 hours. So, just proud of my guys for their work on that and did it safely and efficiently. And we still don't know what happened with that switchgear, but we're going to tear it apart too if we can figure out on it. So, other than that, unless you got any questions?
Question on Sean. Thank you, Marcia.
I do.
Yes.
The CF1 situation. So that was delayed last year to June 15th due to COVID. So the Department of Local Government Finance, it's not updated, so it's only giving me the 2020 date.
Oh.
And I don't know whether the continuation of the emergency declaration might have continued the ability to file that in June of this year as well. And I've been looking and looking, and I can't find 2021 whether it got delayed or not. But since they've got a little bit more time anyway, I just wanted to mention that they may have till June again this year because of the continuation of those emergency declarations.
Interesting. Okay. Will you set out something when you...
Yes. I'll let you know. I just everywhere I looked stopped at 2020, and I went right to the government site. So.
I didn't know you thought about it.
Yeah. I just thought maybe I better look at that.
No.
Anyway, I just wanted to... That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Rosie?
Nothing.
A couple of things for your information. We're starting having staff budget meetings starting tomorrow. Plan for that typical June into July time frame that we usually have budget meetings with you all. We have CIP committee meeting after this. I'm looking here. Lots of good things happening, as you well know, it is very, very busy. So I apologize if I'm, hopefully I haven't dropped anything, but if I have, please feel free to let me know that. Can't talk about the outdoors, but. Okay. So Ocheale went really, really great. The dedication of Ocheale, it went fantastic. Did have a little bit of sprinkles, but it really wasn't terrible. Leah Watanabe was there, who is Shinzo's great granddaughter, and I presented her with Key to the City, which really was really just great. She really loved the alley. They really loved the alley. Her husband was super, super nice. And his grandparents were there with them, which was nice as well. But they actually ended up, I think, afterwards going over to the museum to do a little bit more Shinzo Oki stuff before. I think they spent some time with family and friends in the area. So just really nice, just a fantastic afternoon. Not to mention Roy G. Bibb's ribbon cut, or 1 year anniversary ribbon cutting thing, which was fun too. So we've had a lot of really great stuff. Chip continues to work on restaurant stuff, which we'll talk about at CIP, and continuing to move the ball forward. So, Walt. So Leia and her husband and their son were from Princeton, Indiana. However, her mother, which would have been Shinzo's granddaughter, was in Japan. So that's why she wasn't here.
Okay.
So Leia's mother, Shinzo's granddaughter, was in Japan. So
the one that was here, his great granddaughter.
Yeah. So his great granddaughter is from Princeton. Yeah, they actually.
I feel like she was raised in Japan, though.
In Japan, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So but it was.
It was neat to see also the great great grandson.
Yeah. Luca. Uh huh.
I got a good picture of him just staring at the big
mirror. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever want to see it, by the way, we did live stream it on my Facebook page. So. Well.
Nothing.
Daniel.
Nothing. Sir.
By the way, good season so far for your softball team. Keep up the good work.
Good season.
Okay. Yeah.
Not too bad.
That's not too bad. Yeah. Jennifer.
Coming up on Friday, May 21st, is the Whitley County Spring Outdoor Expo. All of the fun things of indoor expo, but outside and more fun. 6 to 9 p.m. We are hoping for no rain, so there's no plan. Otherwise, I think it's pretty much rain or shine. Our live entertainment is the debutante, and so we're expecting a pretty good following for that.
Can I ask who the debutantes are? I should know that.
They're a bluegrass group.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Popular.
Okay.
We have, I think, 35 different booths coming. I think the National Guard is coming.
Cool.
An exhibit. Bounce House. All sorts of things for pretty much the whole family. We'll be on Van Buren and part of Chauncey Street. There's still time if anybody wants to get a booth to call the chamber, 248-8131, and we can make arrangements for that. So.
Cool. Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks.
Ken.
So we had redevelopment today. Smashing meeting that we had. we approved a grant, or a facade grant, the LMA building, the ever ongoing, you know, treatment of the soil there. Would you say, Chip, a week left? Or another week?
Another
week. Do some more?
Hopefully.
Yeah. And then they'll retest it. So, one other thing I wanted to bring up. So last night I went to a meeting with, for our, I guess, our, like the area I represent, the passages is handed over that property to Bright Point. Mm-hmm. And I know initially when Jason presented that project to us, I think he had mentioned 6 or 8 houses that they were planning on putting on that, which has changed drastically. The zoning or the planning committee approved 23 houses for that 4-acre plot, which is a lot of homes. And I know that I think some residents in our area were, you know, were strongly against that, although it was still approved. And then last night at the meeting, we probably had, I'd say probably 20 to 25 residents. I don't know, I didn't count them, but and Bright Point came in and, you know, it was more of a Q&A, but it was unanimous of the residents who were there. They were not happy with the plan. So we were asking them to go back to the drawing board to, you know, revise it. Not that people are against homes being built there, but having 23 homes built there in such a small area, in that area. So I just want to bring that to the council's attention. But, there were a lot of upset people last night at the meeting. So,
On that note, I've taken a call. You've taken a call, I think, at least about that project. So, I mean, you know, there's a middle ground, right? I mean, at the end of the day, is it six homes that come out to Hill Drive, or is it, I think it's six.
Six.
I think, does that sound right, Nathan?
I think there's like 9 in total for the whole area.
No,
phase,
first phase, phase one.
Yeah. But the bigger concern I've heard over and again has been the traffic on Hill Drive.
Yeah.
I know Plan Commission had addressed the issue with so many drives coming out onto North Street, but then, which I think there's, I think originally there was 4 or 5, maybe 6 drives going out on North Street. That changed to 1 drive with multiple, with basically a street coming in.
The original design was like 9.
Was 9, okay. So I know that they changed some of that. Of course, the other side of that is that, you know, when the hospital was bulldozed and given over the passages, this has kind of always been the plan. Mm-hmm. Also recognize there's a lot of individuals there, first of all, that have moved there since the hospital's been down, mm-hmm. and probably really enjoy that vacant space. And, you know, I've heard of deer being over there and animals and all those kind of things, right? The other side is there's, you know, there's always a need for multiple types of housing. And I think is this rent to own? Is that what it is?
It's section 42.
Okay.
So, right point with
workforce housing, right?
It's workforce housing, yeah. Low to moderate income, because our median household income is so high.
Yep.
It's actually fairly good income.
Yeah.
But Right Point would own it for the term, at least the initial term of section 42, which I believe they're funded for
15 years. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
After which point, if they use the model they did up at Heritage Place, it would be mm-hmm. rent owned, but they could get it renewed.
Yeah. So my biggest concern, Ted, and again, I certainly get the concern. If I were there and you know, we talk about 20-some homes being just flopped on that spot, you know, obviously I'd have concerns as well. But I guess my biggest concern would be is that the neighborhood recognized that, first of all, that homes are already being planned there, and that hopefully they're not just opposed to development at all.
No, that's not the case at all.
Okay, and they're willing to work with BrightPoint.
Absolutely.
And that's really all I care about. And that's frankly what I've talked to when I talked to the lady on the phone, well, the two ladies on the phone. That's what I kind of expressed to them. It's like, hey, if we can all get together and make this work, I think it's a benefit for everybody.
Yeah.
But it just...
I would say the consensus was not that they don't, the community doesn't want that project to go through,
mm-hmm.
just doesn't want it to go through in the way, the iteration that was presented.
Gotcha. Current form.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it also is the fact that the back of the houses are going to be facing Hill Drive.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of their drive. The garage is going to go in. What do most people do to the back of their houses?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe if they would face Hill Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And not have the back of the houses there, and still have a drive off. That might change their minds a little bit. I don't know, but they just don't want the back of the house facing their, you know.
Well, that's been changed already.
Okay. Did they show the types or the style of homes that they're going to build there?
Actually, they didn't.
Okay, and I think that's a disservice to the residents because
I think
there's this idea of what are going to be built there. I mean, I've seen some of the. I mean, CIP committee at least has seen some of the houses they're planning to build there.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty nice houses.
Yeah.
It's not like they're shanties, right? Like,
sure.
Pretty nice houses.
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed here that maybe BrightPoint may have done themselves a disservice by not showing some of those pictures of those homes because they really are. I mean, they're Granite Ridge, right? I believe
that's
Granite Ridge homes, which are, we got a lot of Granite Ridge in this community, and they're all pretty nice homes.
Well, I try to tell people if you want to see what it looks like, drive out to Heritage Place.
Yep.
You know, and see the houses that are actually run by that. They look nice. They still look nice.
Yeah.
It seems as though those people accept responsibility for the cleanliness of their properties.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it looked pretty nice out there.
Yeah.
But I know the traffic is a major issue.
Really, there's no sidewalks in the community.
Yeah.
And again, but this was, it was a lot of things discussed. So I just wanted to bring it to the attention.
Sure.
So, because there are people who are some more upset than others. But there were some concerns. So.
Good. Good.
Good.
Nathan.
I mostly stuck around with
Okay.
That was a while ago now.
Okay. Okay. Well,
since I'm here, sorry.
Sure.
Just to give you guys a quick update, we have three positions open, full-time building inspector position, a replacement for our planner one because he's probably going to move over to Fort Lane. He's got inroads with Fort Lane. And then a part-time secretarial position. So, you know, anybody who would be interested in any of those, Smith's resume and application would be awesome. Even if they're not exactly qualified, feel free. And then we're busy. I sent numbers to the mayor as of the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
We're still kind of maintaining those numbers. Countywide numbers are about 4.5 weeks. We're running 4.5 weeks ahead of where we were for our 5-year average. And 2.5 weeks ahead of our previous peak year of 2017. For the city, numbers are a little bit different, but still running ahead of both average and peak by week.
So things are good, is what he's saying. Building is happening.
Things are probably going beyond good. To I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. That's why we have three positions being advertised.
Yes.
That's why.
Great. Thank you. Okay, well, we will do the CIP committee here in a couple of minutes. Thank you, everybody. We will call the meeting.